One crucial aspect of this broadening of the debate as to what constitutes successful economic development concerns the role of government in general, and more to the point, the exercise of political authority in a society for the management of its resources. Governance is the term that is used now in the development community to underscore the fundamental role of the quality of government in this process. Because this is so absolutely central to successful development, let me identify a few basic elements. And let me begin, in fact, with accountability. The exercise of power must be guided by the need to improve the standard of living and well-being of the population. Adequate safeguards must be introduced to prevent the emergence of situations where ruling elites use political power for personal gain rather than public benefit. Democracy and political pluralism should facilitate this task, which at a minimum involves the periodic legitimization of governments through popular choice and in a way that gives adequate voice to the opposition, making politicians thus more responsive to the needs of society. Amartya Sen convincingly argues that those countries in which governments operate in an environment of political legitimacy tend to be much better at allowing the formation of vital understandings and beliefs among the population that directly impinge upon aspects of the development process. For instance, he points out that the notion that female education, employment, and ownership rights exert powerful influences on women's ability to control her environment and improve her condition, and thus to better contribute to national prosperity. A second dimension of good governance has to do with transparency. Daniel Kaufman and a number of other researchers have shown the central importance of the establishment of an institutional environment characterized by openness and transparency in the management of public resources. Without any doubt, corruption poisons the development process. It leads to resource misallocation, that funds are no longer directed towards their most productive ends, but are instead captured for private gain. It certainly undermines the credibility of those who are perceived as being its beneficiaries, whether we talk about public officials, government ministers, and business leaders, and thus sharply limits their ability to gain public support for economic and other reforms. I need not remind you that lack of transparency in the workings of the global financial system has been very much at the heart of the present crisis in 2008 and 2009. How the authorities been more effective in monitoring the explosive growth of increasingly sophisticated and opaque financial instruments, the so-called weapons of financial mass destruction, to use the term coined by Warren Buffett. It is quite conceivable that the current crisis might not have been so severe in its intensity. Sen notes that societies operate better under some presumption of trust, and that therefore they will benefit from greater openness. In his Financial Times piece published in early March of 2009, he observed that the far-reaching consequences of mistrust and lack of confidence in others, which have contributed to generating this crisis and are making a recovery so very difficult, would not have puzzled Adam Smith. A third dimension, of course, concerns justice. Closely linked to the issue of accountability is the need for the rule of law, the notion that the rules which govern a society, and hence those that regulate economic activity, are applicable to all. There is increasing recognition that without a reasonably objective, efficient, and predictable judicial system and legal framework, accountability will have no legal underpinnings, and the goals of good governance will be undermined. As regards the economy in particular, it has long been recognized that the absence of an adequate legal and judicial framework will increase business costs, discourage investment, and introduce an element of uncertainty into economic activity, which will be detrimental to the development process. Now, from the above discussion, it is clear that these various elements of good governance, accountability, transparency, justice, are not independent. Interactions are inevitable, and conflicts could arise, you know, in the short term, particularly in the context of developing countries. Participatory processes implemented in an environment of political pluralism and openness may add an element of unpredictability to the decision-making process. It may take much longer to forge the necessary consensus around a particular strategy. But this does not detract from their intrinsic value and the overriding need to pursue them as essential ingredients of good governance. Look, The potential benefits of an approach to development that seeks to incorporate the above mutually reinforcing elements, accountability, transparency, justice, should not be underestimated. Let me give you an example. In an environment of accountability and political legitimacy, people will be far more likely to become active participants in the economy. A broadly shared sense of entitlement to economic transactions will then become an engine of economic growth. A growing economy will boost private incomes and enable the state to collect taxes out of which it will be able to finance expenditures, including in vitally important social areas such as education and research and development. Higher levels of spending on education and health care have been shown to be associated with reductions in infant mortality and a fall in birth rates. Female literacy and improved schooling change women's fertility behavior and end up having widespread implications for the environment, the pressures on which are often linked to rapid population growth. Conversely, it is possible to interpret the often disappointing fruits of economic development during the past half a century in terms of the absence of these very fundamental building blocks.